This morning I'm proclaiming the word of God from the gospel reading. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we receive your word, fill us with your Holy Spirit so that we may always call out to you as dearly loved children call to their Father. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. When we have baptisms in our congregation, we regularly hear a post-baptismal prayer. Let's say a young lass called Jess gets baptised. We would pray this prayer. Heavenly Father, receive Jess according to your promise. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. We pray this prayer at baptism, where people are adopted as God's children, where they become free as children to call out to their Father. Do you remember, though, where this teaching comes from? This ask, seek, and knock teaching. It's given to us by the Lord Jesus. It's recorded in the Gospels in Matthew, but also in Luke. In this year, we will be hearing a lot from Luke's Gospel. We're now in what's called Year C. Listen to how this teaching is handed on in Luke's Gospel. It's beautiful, profound, and encouraging teaching from our Lord. Jesus says to us, "So I say to you, ask and it will be given you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Our Lord Jesus gives us strong encouragement to approach God our Father as dearly loved children. Our Lord Jesus wants us to have confidence before God our Father, to speak with God and to ask things from God in our need, even for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now sometimes we can think, well, why do we need to ask for the Holy Spirit? Don't we already have the Holy Spirit in baptism? And it's true that God gives this gift in baptism, but a gift that we can keep on receiving as Christian people. You know, when a child is born into the family, that child is not simply received on the day that it is born. The receiving is an ongoing process throughout the whole of life. Every conversation between child and parent is part of this reception and growth and maturity, also for us as Christian people. We continue to receive the Spirit and are free to ask our Father for the Holy Spirit as we mature in Christian faith, and we have our Lord's encouragement to do this. To pray, in other words. To speak to God from our hearts, trusting that he hears in his divine fatherly compassion. Now this in mind, is teaching of Jesus himself on prayer and the gift of the Holy Spirit, let's listen again to the baptism account in Luke's Gospel. Here's how it begins. "Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying..." This is very compact teaching.
St. John is not named as the one doing the baptism in Luke's gospel. That's not the focus. Also, the mode of baptism is not described. That's not the focus either. That Jesus was baptized is acknowledged, but the focus is going to happen later in the reading. There is, however, one detail which is very easy to overlook. Luke writes this: when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying. Now, if you read through Luke's gospel and pay attention to where Jesus prays, you will see that he prays at all the significant occasions, or at least most of them, in his ministry. So, for example, when Jesus chooses the 12 apostles and goes on to deliver them the Sermon on the Plain, his great teaching in Luke's gospel, he prays before this. Prayer, the choice of the apostles, the handing on of the teaching, go together. When Jesus receives the confession of faith from Peter and gives his first passion prediction, he's praying before he does this. When Jesus is transfigured in glory, and we'll hear about this before we begin Lent, Jesus is also praying there. Jesus prays in the garden. Jesus prays from the cross. All these big events in Jesus' life, key moments in his ministry, are accompanied by the prayer of our Lord Jesus. Again, this is very encouraging for us to think about and to receive. Our Master, our Teacher, the one whom we follow, who sets an example to us, prayed. So we as students, who will not surpass the Master, are free to follow in his example and ourselves pray. It seems to me one of the best arguments for prayer and one of the greatest encouragements to prayer is the fact that Jesus himself prayed and that we follow his example. Even in saying grace, for example, Jesus was one who prayed grace before eating, and we follow him in this. So Jesus was praying in his baptism. Then we get to the focus of Luke's account. The heaven was opened. The Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven: "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." In some respects, Jesus' baptism was a very human action. This was a baptism, St. John's baptism, for repentance, turning back to God. Jesus was sinless. He did not need to repent, but in his baptism took the path of humanity with us, shared in everything which is ours, even our need for repentance. A path here that he takes, that he begins, which will take him even to his death on the cross. So Jesus, undertaking a very human action in receiving John the Baptist's baptism, but in this he has approval from God. And so into the mundane, the divine breaks in. The heaven is opened, the Holy Spirit descends, and the voice says, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." Divine approval. The heavenly breaking into the worldly. God's voice speaking, not simply a human voice. So we can know that the Lord Jesus had the approval of his Father as he took on the weight of human sin, as he took on the weight of our sin, of your sin. God the Father approved of Christ in doing this for you. This is an action of love, an action that is well-pleasing to God. Now you could pause there if you want to think about real good news for your life and meditate on this. The Lord Jesus, taking on your sin, had the approval of God the Father. This was a real action of love for you.
for you. This is a word which the devil does not want you to hear or to think about. But it's a word that is filled with the Holy Spirit and with life. Receive this word because it's powerful and can lead us in our hearts to open up to God our Father and to live at peace with Him and with each other. So beautiful words spoken by the Father, but also words for us, because our Lord Jesus, when He took this path to the end, through death and into the resurrection, started His own baptism, the baptism that we received. We heard about this today in the reading from Acts, and the connection between the baptism that Jesus gives and the Holy Spirit. I won't get into this much here in the sermon, but go and look at the book of Acts if you have time. You'll see that baptism and the gift of the Holy Spirit always belong together. Sometimes people receive a manifestation of the Holy Spirit and then they're baptized. Sometimes they are baptized and then are prayed for the gift of the Spirit, and that's what we heard about in the Acts reading today. What we can say for sure is that these things always belong together. Like I said in the children's address, having the status as a son or daughter and communicating with the parents, these things belong together. They belong. And that's how it is for us in the Christian church. That's why St. Paul can write words like this. I've got a quote from Romans chapter 8 here. It's teaching which is consistent and explicates Jesus, His action, the baptism that we received. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it's that very spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. That teaching was taken up in a hymn that we sang before the sermon today. We have adoption as God's children. We can call out to God as Father. This is a freedom that we have in Christ Jesus and the baptism that we have received. We are free to take this seriously, to trust it, and to act on it. But also to understand that this path, the path that Jesus leads us on, can also be a path of suffering. This is how the text in Romans goes on. If, in fact, we suffer with Him, so that we may also be glorified with Him. This takes us back to the baptism of Jesus. Jesus is baptized. He has divine approval. He is called the Son of God. And then, in Luke's Gospel, you have the genealogy of Jesus going all the way back to Adam. And then the temptation in the desert, into dryness, into temptation, where the first Adam fell, the greater Adam, Christ, stands against the assaults of the evil one. But it is in a dry place where there is testing. As Christian people, as we mature, we understand that as baptized people, often we are in dry places and in places of testing. But again, in this, we are following in the footsteps of our Master. We are not greater than He. He went before us with divine approval. He stood up for us, well-pleasing to God. So even if we have dryness and temptation, we can know that we are not alone. We are baptized into Christ. Everything which is His, approval, strength even in dryness, strength even in temptation, is ours. When we have baptisms in our church, we regularly pray that those who are baptized are received according to the promise of Christ. Ask, seek, and knock. A promise given to us because we are indeed as our Father says in Christ, children of God. Let's receive this encouragement today as you think about the baptism of our Lord, knowing that God, who started this work in us, who's adopted us as his children, is maturing us in Christian faith and will lead us to our heavenly home. Let's stand. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds safe in Christ Jesus. Amen.